Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving. And I mean mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He loves his people. He loves everyone. I want to say something that you may not know, and you may know. Hopefully so, but if you don't, it's all good. God loves us. He loves those who don't even know to love themselves. He loves people that's been hurt. He loves people that has problems. He loves people that's been trying to get ahead, and they feel like they just can't do it. He loves you, and his love is real. But the Lord can't do much about our problems unless we believe him and take him at his word. Receiving his word is key. It will always be key. You have to receive his word. When you receive his word, your world just got bigger. And when you love God back, when you love him, you begin to notice more. The kind of people that receive his word are the people who have a love for God. Now, I'm going to tell you something about you. You got an enemy out there. And that enemy, he tries to destroy you in every way known to man. And in many ways, he's trying to destroy you. And his destruction is designed to divide you from God, who can give you life, health, and strength. The Lord can't do much on our behalf unless we invite him to. He can't come in. He don't bully your life. He loves you. You got to invite him in. Adam let Satan in the world, and we got to drive him out of the world. And we start by driving him out of our lives. But the problem is people don't understand his tactics. And his tactics are always evil, and it's designed to divide you from God. That's his ultimate goal. All sin divides you from God. It'll harden your heart against God so you won't believe him. And then Satan's got you trapped. And people don't know his tactics, so they fall for them. And one thing you got to do, you got to go back to what God did in the beginning. You got to choose light. Choose the right ways of life. They make your life stronger and better. Remember, John made it simple for us. I like simple. If you can understand the simple things, you can always make the right adjustments. Now, Satan is not that hard to defeat. You can defeat him. There's three things you got to watch out for: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. People do things because they're baited. They see something they want and they go after it. And they don't think consequence. You can't satisfy lust, for instance. When people do things wrong against you, it's easy to take it personal. They're just trying to do what they want to do, but it can cause so many problems. But when you follow God's path, you can avoid many problems that cause so many problems in this life. And at the same time you're having problems, the Word of God gives you the advantage in life. When you start doing things God's way, walking in the light of God's Word, a healing process begins in you. And as you receive more light, drive out more darkness. When God said, "Let there be light," he chose the light and rejected the darkness. He saw that the light was good. Now, this isn't the first time he saw that the light was good, but he's talking to us. Everything he did in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is communication. This is the way you structure your personal life. It's not fair for preachers to preach that God loves you and don't teach you how to Satan's tactics and how he works. Sometimes some ministers feel like, well, the people won't believe it, or that's negative. They don't want to hear that. It's not fair to let somebody go through this life and not teach them Satan's tactics and how he works and operates. And I follow God, and I try to get the point across so that you can make a sober decision. It's important. Whatever God says is not just important, it's very important. And if you follow God, he's not going to hijack your life and make you do something you don't want to do. He's helping you live. And if he calls you, if he calls you and sets you aside to do something for him, not only is it an honor, but it will work. It's a blessing. But sometimes people don't draw near to the Lord because they don't want to be inconvenienced to do ministry. But I'm going to tell you something about time. Some people, they go out and they follow their dreams. They do things, but their life feels empty. The only way your life will be fulfilled is if you follow him and be a blessing to people. It's in you. Because you're made in God's image, you want to be a blessing to people. You have a strong desire to be a blessing. You may not know it. And if you've been around people that try to get over, if you were around people that love people, you would learn to cherish the things of God. But the enemy is systematic in his methods. And he grooms people to be negative. That negative was not an accident. That was an attack. But you're still made in God's image. There are things that God put in you that need to be woke up. And the word of God will do it. The word of God will as you draw near to him, you'll begin to see some of the treasures that God already put in you. And you'll be able to harness them and use them. Create creative abilities. And that's why some people go negative and they become drug dealers. But in that world, they're so smart, the police can't catch them good because they're using their God-given abilities to the negative. If they would have been around the right people and harnessed the treasures that God put on them and been working for the positive, they would be an asset to society instead of a curse. Now, we fight an enemy that was designed to do something wonderful. But he got involved. He did the same thing that men and angels fall for the same reasons: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And you have to learn God's ways, and you can avoid these things. Now, because people get off track, they hurt people. But I'm going to show you how to overcome. And you got to do it God's way. You can't fight a spiritual war like men fight a natural war. There are a few similarities, but it's totally different. The people that hurt you, you got to forgive them. That will bless you, and it can bless them. You have to release them. Now, I'm going to give you a scenario that I hear about it so much. Men, they like to look at women. They like women, and they lust after women. And eventually, they have a girlfriend, and the girlfriend, they love this guy. And then he go and cheat on her with other girls. And then she feels devastated, or even sometimes his wife. And then that marriage ends, or that relationship ends, but she's still carrying unforgiveness against him. And she thinks that all men are that way. That's what the enemy say next. All men are like that. You might as well do what you want to do. But if you forgive that person, then you'll start and start studying God's word and doing things God's way. You'll see things as they truly are. And eventually you can become healthy, and then you'll have a healthy relationship. I'm using relationship because the same scenario goes for everything. When you forgive that person, what that person did to you starts looking smaller and God starts looking bigger. But you can allow that kind of hurt. You see, the only way to get rid of the hurt is to forgive that person. As long as you hold a grudge, that person has power over your life. And that hurt can be magnified to the point that it looks bigger than God to you. And you feel like God don't like you. And the enemy will play with your mind. But that's not God's intent. You still have treasures deep in there, in your heart, in your makeup, in your character. But the word of God, if you don't receive God's word, you won't have faith for the things that he already gave you. That God gave us healing. By Jesus' stripes, we're healed. But when people are, the religious world taught people against healing. The enemy didn't want Christian people to enjoy healing, so he got in the seminary and gave them a lie, and they bought it and they preached it. So now people reject healing, and then when they need to be healed, and their children need to be healed, then some of them read the scriptures and go beyond the teaching of the organizations, and they'll get healed. But a doctrine came about, well, God will heal sometimes. Sometimes he will, sometimes he won't. Whatever happens is God's will. That's not true. The word of God is God's will. If you don't believe it that way, you won't stand on it. And if you don't stand on it, it won't work for you. But God is so good. Sometimes people have a faith accident. They'll believe, and then God will heal them. But you got to get rid of the things that's wrong. Satan was behind. He got his foot in a lot of doors. I'm sorry. But the way to get over the thing and triumph against him is to forgive people, to love people anyway. They don't deserve your love, but love them anyway. We didn't deserve God's love, but he loved us anyway. The way God loves us is the way you love man. And from there, you will grow from glory to glory. If you don't, the woman that got hurt by a man that she cared about, if she don't forgive him, she's going to carry that load in the next relationship and ruin it. Her fear will. Because you can't have fear in a relationship. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. I'm going to tell you something that will happen if you have fear in any relationship. You minimize what the people's potential. Some men have done wrong. They may have had a child outside of your marriage. And then they ask you to forgive them. They ask God to forgive them. And they want to grow and go forward. But if there's no release, if you don't remit that sin and forgive them, your fear can dominate that relationship. And it'll make it miserable. All men have come short of the glory of God. But when you forgive people, you give them a chance to live. And the sin won't be so big. It'll be forgotten. God is willing to not only forgive you of your sin, but he forgets about it. Now people say, I'll forgive, but I ain't gonna forget. I say do both. Why do you go around thinking about something that somebody did negative? And there's a devil out there tempting them and prodding them and pushing them and driving them to do things. If you decided to stay with them, then forgive them and forget about it. That's the best way to handle it. And don't require, the true love don't require things of others. I'm going to love you. I don't require you to do me right. The love of God in me loves you anyway. But if you're an enemy to me, I'll defend myself, but I won't stop loving you. I may avoid you. I may not come around you, but I don't hate you. And I don't want anything bad to happen to you. But I'm not going to let the negative things control my life. And I know what I'm talking about because this kind of forgiveness sets you free. It's the knowledge of the truth. And I can show you many references where people have done these things. Peter betrayed Jesus. And Jesus told him he was going to do it. He said, but the enemy sought to sift your mind as wheat. He said, but I pray for you. And when you're strengthen your brothers. Jesus didn't hold a grudge against him. And he did it. He denied him before. He denied him three times before the cock crew that next day. And then when the rooster crowed, he realized what Jesus said. And he felt so bad about it. He didn't know what to do with himself. But he came back and he got his mind right and he got his heart right. And he became one of the most effective men of God in history. And when you study 1 Peter and 2 Peter, it will bless your relationships. It will dry. You will have the love of God, and perfect love cast out fear. You can't have a relationship with fear in the relationship. If you don't get rid of the fear, you might get rid of your spouse or you may just make the marriage miserable. Thinking about what somebody did to hurt you, always trying to on guard. You can't live like that. You will die young. That kind of strife causes cancer. But God is, he gave us something so much greater than that. Every relationship will thrive without fear. It's not good to have fear against your people. Fear is always against you and them. The fear is, see, fear is a driver. And this is how the Lord explained it to me. He showed it to me. Fear is a driver. It takes the strength you have. It uses you to fulfill itself. Fear has no foundation. It's a belief, just like faith is a belief. But it's a belief to the negative. Fear believes that evil has power over you. Now, the fear of God is good because you're looking at the Lord. And the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. If people would live according to the fear of the Lord, they would do fine. They would avoid problems. They will avoid evil. They will avoid being evil, and they'll avoid evil people. But fear in your relationships, if you fear that your children are inadequate and won't do what they're supposed to do, that's why people are helicopter parents. They hover over their children. They think their children are stupid. They fear that their children won't do what they should do. They fear that their children are not good enough or smart enough or wise enough. And you know, God doesn't do us that way. People preach like he does, but he don't. God knows if you'll trust his word, you'll become trustworthy. And he believes in you. And when you're seeking him, you're growing. You can't tell that you're growing. You're growing stronger and stronger. And then the Lord will start giving you assignments and things to do. And you'll wonder, why? Why me? Well, he sees something in you. He knows what he's doing. He evaluates everything. And the way he is with you is the way we ought to be with each other. When you fear against people, build them up in love. Instead of fearing, love them. I had a mobile auto service. I was able to see a lot of families in their habitat. Because I worked on cars mostly at their house. And sometimes their job. And I saw people in their situations. You know, people can be one way at church and another way at home and another way at work. And some people are the same everywhere they go. Thank God. They love God and they're growing. Some people got a church mask, a house mask, and a work mask. I'm not trying to be mean, but that's how they do. So even children, especially children, they got a parent mask, they got a friend's mask, they got a school mask, when they're around their teacher, they're another way. Human nature. But if you decide to love your people with the love, the way God loves you, love releases people. It doesn't think the worst. Love is not quick to think the worst about a people. But the love of God, by the love of God, you'll see things as they truly are. Now, the analogy I used about the cheating man, some people repent just like Joseph's brothers. If you read the story, they sold him into slavery. He ended up in Egypt. And then they came to a point that they deeply regretted it, that they were all willing to trade their lives for Benjamin, who was in the same situation that Joseph was. They saw how, see, when people sin against you, they don't know how bad it's going to make things to be. They don't know how it's going to hurt you. Men have no clue of the train wrecks they leave behind them. And women don't either. When you hurt somebody and betray somebody's trust, it can cause a lot of misery for that person. Some people don't ever get over it. Some people die early because it can cause people to die early because the misery of hurts, if people don't know how to handle it and come out of it, it can ruin every relationship that they have. They'll be mad at the next man, the woman will be mad at the next man that she married. She'll be in fear and she'll make the relationship miserable, thinking that he's going to cheat on her. Then when her son gets older, she'll fear that he's going to cheat on his wife. And she'll speak words that will drive him to do precisely what she is afraid of. Unless he learned the word for himself and don't listen to that and go forward. As a young Christian man, I was in my early 20s when I went to church on my own. Nobody made me go. I wanted to be there. But I could tell that people were afraid that I would sin and start flirting with the girls, and they thought I might get somebody pregnant or something. But that wasn't on my mind. I wanted to serve God. I was done with the world. But I could tell that people feared against me. And they'll say, hold on, son. And I knew, I said, I can show you. In my mind, I said, I can show you better than I can tell you. I knew that they cared about me. They seen a lot of people go south. But I was done with the world. I said, I asked the Lord to help me never shame Jesus. Help me always to do what's right. All I wanted to do was be a good man. I wanted to be a man like the men I saw growing up. I came from a good neighborhood and I saw good things. The way that the men in my neighborhood lived it gave me a visual. And I said, with God, I know I can do right. And I didn't want to hurt people. I didn't want to betray people. Because I didn't want anybody to do me that way. Now, but I learned some things. It's not easy to get over a hurt unless you forgive the person and release the person. But when you start receiving God's word, your whole world gets bigger. When you start looking to the Lord as your Savior, as your King, and even as your friend, the things that they did means nothing. And the things that made you cry the loudest become something you can actually laugh about. And I've experienced it. I'm not saying these things haphazardly. I've experienced these things. There were things that I cried about, and after being in God's presence, I grew to a point that I could laugh at those things. I understand how things are. I understand pain. But I also know how to kill depression. And you kill depression by filling your heart with God's word. You kill fear by filling your heart with God's love. You kill ignorance by filling your heart with God's knowledge. See, everything of Satan can be destroyed. Perfect love casts out fear. You can overcome lust by perfect love. As you love people, they don't have power over you anymore. And the Lord can help you see things as they truly are. So, the woman that had a husband that cheated, She takes this advice and she starts listening to the word of God, and she gets built up on the inside. Then she starts saying that, "I forgive that man. And then I'm gonna forget about it." And she don't mention it anymore. And she don't throw it in his face when she feel offended. Now, when you don't throw it in his face when you feel offended again, you've grown some. A healing process will continue. And by the love of God, if he repented and he hates what he did, and he's going forward in the Lord forgave him and forgot about it. And now he had to grow to the point that he forgave himself. And he's learning to forget about it. Now you'll see this. If he's struggling to forget about it, you'll see that. If he was sincere when he said he'll never do that again, you'll see that. If it's a struggle for him not to sneak around anymore, you'll see that too. And by the wisdom of God, you'll know precisely what to say. In fact, the Holy Spirit will give you words, healing words, to help heal your relationship. The people that do you wrong, they still have potential and they're still valuable to God. I can prove it. Cain killed Abel. He didn't just kill Abel, he killed all the people that he could have been the father of, because they couldn't be born of Abel, because Cain killed him. Now, there were consequences. The ground wouldn't produce fruit for him, for Abel anymore. It wouldn't bear whatever he planted, it wouldn't work. That shows us that if you shed blood, there are consequences. And the earth wouldn't produce for Cain, because he killed his brother. And then the Lord, he said, you've driven me out of over the land, and people that find me will kill me. And then the Lord said, I put a mark on you, so anybody that see you won't kill you, because it'll be worse for them if they kill you. So he didn't get killed, and he went on and rebuilt his life. And when people sin, they don't know the trouble it's gonna cause. All they see is what they're doing right now. They're trying to be satisfied right now. They don't know how much pain it's gonna cause for you and them. And then, because it's so bad, they have regrets. That's why people drink. They're trying to forget. They're trying through human methods to forget what they've done. But it don't cure the problem. It's just help them wear a mask for a while. It helps them get it off their mind for a day. That's no good. God, you need to be healed. You need the love of God in order to receive the life that he's given us. We all need the love of God. That's why the love of God is so powerful and so important for us. It's important for us to receive God's love. The Word of God helps us do that, because the Word of God, my friend, is the knowledge of God, is the knowledge of love. So we receive the knowledge of love in our heart, then we become capable to love like God. We experience the love from God, and we can relate what we understand from that love that we receive. And it starts healing processes. But if you see, when somebody hurts you and you tell people, they feel offended for you. So if you talk about it long enough, they're going to be mad at the person that you was married to or in a relationship with. But when you forgive that person, then it takes a while for your loved ones to catch on. And you don't treat them evil. You don't speak against them. You let it go. You release them and you pray for them. People that blatantly do you wrong. I've heard stories where women have harassed men with the courts, taking them to child support. I heard about one man, he had to come from out of town every time his ex-girlfriend or ex-wife took him to court for child support. And he'd show up and she wouldn't show up. And he told the judge, he said, I can't keep doing this. I'm taking time off work. and it takes me too long to get, he said, you're just going to have to come. In other words, that judge did nothing on his behalf. And women find out that they can do that, and they hate the person. And they, you know, now, on his part, in order for him to go forward and thrive, he'll have to forgive her. Even though she's evilly doing him wrong. And then pray for her. But tell Satan, you can't use that woman against me anymore. See, you don't have to be upset at the person. Satan is behind it. He's just using her as a puppet. And ask the Lord to avenge you. See, God's justice is perfect. He can turn things around. He can save her soul. He can move her out of the way. You don't bother God's people. There's no need to harass people. Even if they're not saved. No, you shouldn't do anybody wrong. You're hindering them from loving God. Satan's trying to divide mankind from God. Now, when people hear about this, then they feel fearful. What if somebody do me that way? And then some people say, well, I'll shoot them. Their heart goes to me. Some people are troubled anyway. When you're harassing people, you're banking on the fact that they're going to do right anyway. It don't always work out.